The OHP Uncut Podcast with Cannon.
Hey, what's up? It's Cannon from Open House Party and OHP Uncut. It seems to be the new trend to throw things on stage at artists while they're performing. Water bottles, bras, the list goes on and on. Artists, spoiler alert, do not like it. Pete Wentz talks a little bit about some of the things he's had thrown at Fall Out Boy and how he feels about it and what he plans to do about it today. When we talk about lots of things, including the new song, We Didn't Start the Fire, their new version of that. Make sure you click subscribe on this channel. That's how you can win a virtual meet and greet with your favorite artist. We pick random new subscribers, and you can win exactly that, some FaceTime with your favorite artist. You can see some of those chats below. But right now, let's get into it with Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy.
The OHP Uncut Podcast with Cannon.
Pete Wentz, how you doing, buddy?
Good, I'm chilling, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. That show in Boston the other night was absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was like pretty crazy. Long time in the making, you know?
I guess you've got a new, for like lack of a better term, logo for Fall Out Boy that I noticed it was on stage. It's sort of like that like half frown, half smile, yin yang type thing. What's the meaning behind that?
Yeah, we've been using it on the on this record cycle. We used it in the art, and it kind of like fits the theme of the record, where it's like, you know, life can feel short and that can feel paralyzing and it's hard to break out of that. But then the other half of that is like, you have to do things, you have to do everything in life to kind of break out of that feeling, you know?
Oh, I love that. Who came up with that?
Me and then my friend Brendan and me came up with the art for it. Yeah.
I also kind of wondered personally if it has something to do with maybe like a nod to the style of music you guys can be known for, which is like sort of dark lyrics and then uplifting sort of upbeat instrumentation that goes with it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we were doing Barbenheimer before it was cool, right? Like the pink and the black house next to each other or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it really works out best because Patrick's voice and melodies are just work like that. So like it's like sometimes just like this the saddest stuff, but like, you know, he's singing it, so it works out.
I also noticed you played some songs that were like you know, special for Boston, like Sweet Caroline and Dropkick Murphys in there. That's got to be hard to do everywhere you go.
Well, we're changing the set list everywhere we go, and then we're trying to, you know, incorporate moments that are like from the stadium or something, you know? So like when we were in New York, we had Travi from Gym Class come out and did that kind of like, so we just kind of tried to, you know, and honestly, like, listen, we were debating doing Sweet Caroline. And then it was like, once we were there in the building, it was like, dude, this might be your only time. You have to do it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
What about like different covers from each show? Are they always different as well? Because I noticed you did a Metallica cover, which was super dope.
We've done Crazy Train. We've done Don't Stop Believing. Yeah, we kind of try to mix it up like a little bit. Not too crazy because you're in a stadium. So like mixing it up too much, you can get a little lost in the sauce. But we try to we're trying to have a little fun with keeping it, you know, interesting.
Now, I also noticed you jumping in the crowd. You're still doing that. Does that not make you nervous, man? There's got to be hands going places and get a little weird, right?
It only gets like chaotic sometimes. Most of the time, I think people are so shell-shocked or something that like there's like not really much of a reaction. Like they don't like react until afterwards. But yeah, every once in a while people get a little frisky, I guess. But there's guys down there that kind of swat the hands out, so it's okay.
You know what else I noticed lately? This theme of people throwing shit on stage, like water bottles, phones, other objects, bras. How bad does that bother you?
Well, so we have these beach balls that go out, these clear beach balls that kind of like mimic our album cover, the bubbles on our album cover. They go out in the middle of the show. One hit, like a giant one, hit the microphone that I was singing into the other night and smashed my face like extremely bad. And I was bloody everywhere. But like that one, like Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm backstage. So they're sending there's a bomb dog that comes in every show and they just sniff around. So,
okay, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but so I got I ended up with a bloody face or whatever.
There he is.
What's up? Don't panic. You get real weird about that.
Totally. But there was nobody to get mad at in that case, because I was like, dang, we put these beach balls out into the audience, so like there's nothing to be done about that. We haven't experienced much. Like, listen, we maybe in 2006 we used to go and play these festivals in Europe, and dude, we would get pounded with water bottles, all kinds of stuff in them. If we survive that, I feel like we can kind of make it through anything. Like, that was actual chaos. But yeah, we haven't had anything too crazy. We haven't had anything really thrown.
You got to wonder, like, what people's end game is when they're doing things like that. Like, what are you really hoping for? I mean,
I think people don't think it through at all, honestly. I feel like if, because I've seen people throw their phones and that kind of stuff. I'm like, if you're throwing your phone or something, it's like, you just don't have, like, what's the end game? You just don't have a phone? You know,
they think you're going to take a selfie and like throw it back or something. It's like, you just threw your phone at me. I'm not giving it back to you.
Yeah. And it's like hard to figure out who threw it to get it back to them. I don't know. You're better off just not really throwing anything, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In addition to the new stuff, of course, you're doing all the anthems and people are singing along to every single word. Are there any songs, particularly like anthems that you guys have, where you look and people are singing along to every single word of the song, but in your mind, you're going, I'm not sure they truly understand the meaning behind the song or like what the intention was behind the lyrics? Are there any songs like that that stand out to you that are in your sets?
Well, I kind of like never think about it in terms of that, because lots of times people will tell me about the lyrics and I'm like, oh, wow, there is way more depth to your thought pattern behind it than mine. And it makes me think that like, oh, shoot, I probably shouldn't be explaining what I was thinking about this at all, because I'm the one who doesn't really have a clue. Though there are times when we're playing and I'm like, I think, because like, you know, I guess, you know, people always bring up like the enunciation stuff with the earlier stuff. And like, there's times when we're playing and I'm like, they're like not singing the right words. Or like, we're playing this song called Bang the Doldrums and it's just like, oh, yo-hos, you know, whatever, kind of piratey sounding. And I think sometimes people sing words and I'm like, but there just aren't any words. But that's more our fault than anyone else's.
Well, let's talk about the song that we're here to talk about, We Didn't Start the Fire, which is brilliant. And you kind of go, I wonder why nobody has done this yet. But I am so glad that Fall Out Boy is the band that did it, because you did it in your own personal Fall Out Boy kind of way. I had to text you and I was just like, dude, this song is so effing dope. How did you know that now was the time to do that?
Listen, I've been trying to get people to do it for the past 3 or 4 years. I was like, dude, this is like ripe. It feels like friends who are in bands. And finally, Patrick was like, why don't we just be the ones to do it? And so we did it. And listen, like we cut stuff, we added stuff, we cut stuff, you know, like it was an interesting process. And, you know, I've definitely had people bring up like, you didn't, like the biggest omission, I guess, is COVID. And it was interesting because we kind of thought about it in terms of like COVID was something that you feel through other lyrics, because it touched so much of our lives that like it felt almost like too obvious. And I feel like in some ways, one of the things I liked about the original is he goes over these things that were like big things for a short period of time. Like you don't really remember them, but like because they lost to the sands of like time, you know, or whatever. And we tried to include some of those. Listen, it was stuff came, COVID went in, COVID went out, you know, like stuff like, you know, we added and we've tried to add some stuff that was outside of our perspective and tried to think of it in terms of like, this is a bigger song than that. But at the same time, we also didn't like really think of the song in terms of like that people were like, it was gonna get played on the radio or something. You know what I mean? So it was a little, I don't know, more spontaneous than that.
Were there any lyrics in there that you kind of had to jam in there because you were like, oh, I really need something that rhymes with this?
We did need a rhyme with, I can't take this anymore. And I thought of Bush v. Gore, like kind of in the moment, you know, like, I think we could have ended up with something that was, like, I think that was the best version of what we would have come up with for I Can't Take This Anymore, you know, or whatever, was the Bush v. Gore one.
And why the MySpace mention, but no, like, Facebook or TikTok? Why did you choose MySpace?
when we were going through things, like there was versions where those were in, and then we were like, like what's more important, this or Obama? What's more important, like this or the, you know, the tsunami, or what's more important? You know what I mean? Like, we were like, it was an endless debate, honestly. You know what I mean? And there's obviously some things in there that are just like cheekily ours, whether it's like Tom DeLonge and aliens, or you know what I mean, or like, you know Michael Jordan in there twice, but that's because, you know, it's us, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely incredible. We're gonna play it now on the radio show on Open House Party. I do want to mention that I saw that Billy Joel at one point in time had mentioned that song is a nightmare to do live, just because, you know, the lyrics are really, really difficult to remember. Have you had that problem yet?
We haven't played it live yet, but I think that's going to be a nightmare, because it's like there's so much crammed in.
What do you have planned for the rest of the summer then? More dates?
We got 3 more days on this tour, and then we have about 2 weeks off when we go to Japan.
And we could probably do an entire interview talking about the graphic novel that you're working on. Any progress on that?
That's going to be coming out early next year, I believe. We just got some of the proofs in that are pretty cool.
Can't wait to check it out when it drops, man. Thank you so much for your time today, Pete. You're a friend of the show, and we value your friendship and your art and your time, and of course, your music as well. Pete Wentz, thanks, dude.
I appreciate you, man.
The OHP Uncut Podcast with Cannon.